Okay, well, welcome everyone for coming. Great to see such a good turnout. Today, so some of you may have been to the Hudson presentation yesterday. Hands up, anyone who did see that one as well? That's cool, because this presentation is totally different. In today's presentation, you are going to see something which is very rarely done and generally considered suicidal from a presentator's point of view. We are going to see a live demonstration. So there'll be real builds going on and probably real crashes. So we'll see what happens. What I'm going to show you is a few techniques for using Hudson, taking Hudson a little bit further, making Hudson do things that go beyond just scheduling a build job. Is everyone using Hudson? Who is not using Hudson? Who has never used Hudson? Who does not know what Hudson is? Who thinks Hudson is a butler? Right, well, that's progress. I'll briefly just talk about what Hudson is and where it came from, but Koske did a good job of that yesterday, so I'm going to concentrate on the more interesting technical nitty-gritty stuff. What we're going to look at today, we're going to look at some things. Say, demonstration gods, start playing up straight away. So we're going to look at just CI basics, what CI is about, but I think you're probably pretty well grounded in that sort of stuff, so we'll go over that fairly quickly. We'll talk about how to provide useful feedback, notification strategies, so that's really important. That's a much overlooked and underused feature of Hudson. We'll have a look at strategies and how you can get the most out of notification. Look at how to integrate code quality metrics and what you can do with code quality metrics and how you can really go to town on that side of things. So code quality metrics, static analysis, things like coding standards, but also finding bugs, performance tests. We'll be looking at that, seeing how you can actually make a build break if the quality is not up to scratch. I like that feature. We'll be looking at build promotions. So who has heard of build promotions? Who uses build promotions? Yeah, a few. Well, that's good. We'll be looking at a live demo of a couple of ways you can use build promotions. So build promotion is a very cool feature. It's a plugin in Hudson, which we'll see. It allows you to basically set up a build pipeline, take your builds from a build through a certain process right through to deploying to different platforms. While we're at it, we'll look at automated deployment too. So how many people are using Hudson to automate deployment? Oh, quite a few. That's good. What servers are you using? Tomcat? Hands up for Tomcat. Handful. Hands up for JBoss. Few more. WebLogic, that's a good one. Hands up for WebLogic. And what's that other one? So hands up for WebSphere. A few on that. Okay, that's cool. We'll be having a look at that. We'll be using Tomcat because I don't want to stress out my laptop too much. Who am I? My name's John Ferguson Smart. I do all sorts of stuff. I do consulting, training. I help companies optimize their build process. So I do a lot of work in continuous integration, in automated builds, in code quality, test-driven development, all the techie side of Agile, if you like. I wrote a book called Java Power Tools, which, as the name indicates, is sort of vaguely related to Java, but it's more to do with tools. And I'm currently writing a book called Continuous Integration with Hudson, which you can download as it comes out online. There's a website. You can get these. You'll be able to get hold of these slides from wherever the Java 1 people make it available, and it will be on my website as well. You'll be able to get my website URL once you get the slides. So once you have the slides, you'll be able to download the slides. I dabble in, as I said, Agile. build automation, continuous integration, a lot of open source stuff, mainly in the Java space. Who is not using Hudson for Java? Who's using .NET or other fancy stuff? Oh, yeah, that's a pretty dumb question at a Java 1 conference, isn't it? So I also dabble in Groovy and Grails and stuff like that. But enough about me. Let's look at Hudson. So Hudson, you all know Hudson. Actually, I'll talk about Hudson shortly. Let's talk about continuous integration. I could tell you all the benefits of continuous integration, but you've probably figured that out for yourself. So I'll just sum up what I think of continuous integration in three words. Feedback, visibility, and delivery. So when I think of continuous integration, I'm always thinking, this is not automated, this is not a glorified cron job. This is not a way of scheduling a build at midnight. I can do that with cron. That'll work. Now, continuous integration is about feedback. It's about getting the fastest possible feedback to your team when things change, preferably when things go wrong. If you have a build job that lasts 3 hours, and if you have a build server that's particularly, this is a real example, and you have a build server which is fairly heavily loaded, and if you have lots of build jobs going on, your three-hour build job may get queued, and you may not know about it. This is a real example emphasizing this. I've seen this. You may not learn about a build failure until 3 days later. And when you do learn about the build failure, you've got to go back. Because these builds will only be run every 3 days, you get a huge mountain of changes from your version control system contributing to that build. So it's impossible to know who actually broke the build. It'll just be the poor person who committed the last change who will be named and shamed. But in fact, it could be anyone who's contributed over the last 3 days. So that's not continuous integration. Continuous integration is about snappy feedback. It's about committing a change and getting feedback within minutes. You want to get your first feedback within minutes. You don't want to hang around. Visibility is another aspect that we should associate with continuous integration. So when I say visibility, I'm talking about getting not only developers, but testers, BAs, product owners, everyone into the loop. Everyone should be able to know where the build process is at. Is it breaking? Is it permanently red? Seen that too? In which case the feedback is no longer of any use. Feedback's only useful when it varies. If you don't get any variable feedback, it's not feedback, yeah? So visibility on where the build is, but also on where the project is at a point in time. So you want to use continuous integration not just for developer tests, but to give feedback about where you are at from an acceptance test point of view in a way that is readable for the end user, well, testers at least, testers and QA people. Get the non-developers in your team involved as well. We'll be looking at a few techniques like that as well. And automated delivery. So you want to use the same approach to deliver not only to your local server for your local tests, but to your test server, your UAT server, your systems test server, however many and whatever names you give them. You want to have a as uniform as possible an approach to deploying this stuff. Now, that's easier said than done, I know. It's actually quite difficult in practice. So sometimes, and often, you have to combine the actual deployment phase with a bit of scripting. So you can do that in Hudson too. So we'll be looking at all that. So Hudson, I think you know what Hudson, it's a lightweight open source Java continuous integration server. That sums it up. Any questions? No? Good. What makes Hudson so great? These are the sort of things that I think make Hudson a really awesome build server, other than the fact that it's free. But it actually fares quite well against even commercial build servers. I know clients who have commercial build servers and actually use Hudson, even though they've got licenses for more expensive ones. The other big thing that makes Hudson so awesome is the number of plugins, the ecosystem, if you like, the huge number of plugins that allow you to extend and integrate Hudson with your development environment. So we won't be talking about how Hudson integrates with issue tracking systems, but that is an awesome aspect as well. So integrating, an example of these plugins are things like just integrating with, who uses Jira? Track. What else is there? Bugzilla. Oh, no one did use Bugzilla, surely. So, or a lot of, plus heaps of others, you can integrate Hudson with all of these and have, in the simplest form, you can get Hudson to add a link, for example, when you commit a source code change, you get a link from a source code change, an issue number in your message to the issue tracking system. You can also set it up, for instance, the Jira integration also creates comments in the issue referring to the build that was associated with a particular issue. So you get two-way integration. You get that sort of thing in a lot of track has the same sort of integration. So that's quite nice too. That's an aspect we haven't got time to talk about today or to look at today, but it's quite cool as well. Just an example. The reporting features of Hudson are very cool as well. So Hudson makes it very easy. Before the advent of Sonar, there was nothing that could beat it. With Sonar, it becomes a little bit less used, but still it's pretty cool. Reporting on code quality, or Java docs, or generating Maven sites if you're into that sort of thing. Performance trends, JUnit tests, how long your tests take to run. All of this reporting stuff Hudson does a really nice job of. And distributed builds. So no CI server worthy of that name today would not support distributed builds. And Hudson is... Who uses distributed builds in Hudson? Oh, quite a few people. That's good. So that's a very cool feature of Hudson as well. You can even use it in the context of cloud computing and set up proper Elastic CI support. So set up Amazon instances that will come up, for instance, when you need to run more intensive build jobs, and then take them down when you're done. So that's, in a nutshell, what I think makes Hudson so great. I'm sure you've probably got other ideas, but that's just a brief summary. Now, did I mention that we might be doing a couple of demos? Yep. We're going to this, from now on, we're just going to basically do demos. So I'll talk a little bit about the features that I want to show, and then we'll have a look at how it works, and hopefully the demo gods will be clement. So, first thing we want to look at, as we go through, I'll be pointing out the plugins that we're using. So some of the, if there are plugins that are involved in the sort of things I'm demoing, they'll be featured, because a lot of the cool stuff in Hudson does come from plugins. It's always nice to know which plugin actually did that. So the first thing we'll be looking at is the Hudson dashboard and a few interesting things at that level. So let's see if we can get this to work. So this is the Hudson you all know and love. Get rid of that, we don't need it. So, who is not familiar with the Hudson dashboard? A couple of people. So for the benefit of those who aren't familiar, well, this is the Hudson dashboard. You have a list of your projects. For each project you have a red ball, green ball, or red ball, blue ball. You can have green if you want. Red ball, blue ball, or yellow ball for unstable builds. Blue for successful builds. You also get this very useful feature, weather icon. So weather icon gives you an idea of the stability of your build over time. So that's pretty obvious, except that the stability can cover more than just whether the tests pass or whether the build succeeds. So here we have a stability metric that also takes into account code coverage. So what I could have said, I could have configured that, we'll do it later on, can say that code coverage 73%, that's way too low, we'll mark that as an unstable build. So you can control both the weather and the status of your builds through things that are apparently unrelated to test results. So you can have successive builds. You might, with Hudson, one of the fundamental principles of Hudson or any CI server is that you set up your build so that you do the fast bits first, then you move on to the slower bits later on. So you start off with, say, unit tests. The tests that will only take, that will be done in a couple of minutes. Get them done first. If that works, you move on to more detailed, comprehensive, maybe web tests, maybe load tests, maybe code quality analysis, code coverage, that sort of stuff. So you do the fast stuff first. If that breaks, there's no point continuing, so you get that done first. Then only if that succeeds, you move on. So it's quite possible to set up a build that will break. We'll see how to set up a build that will actually break if you don't have code quality or code coverage metrics that are up to your satisfaction. Now, in this example, we've only got half a dozen or so build jobs. That's okay, that fits on the screen, but what I find is when you have 50 or so build jobs, it starts to get a little bit crowded. And that's something I've always found a little bit annoying with the dashboard. And what I discovered recently is a thing called the Folder View plugin or something along those lines. Folder View plugin, I think. Nested View plugin, that's the one, Nested View. And what that does is it gives you basically a set of grouped views. So in our example of 6 build jobs, it's not particularly representative, but you could imagine if you have 50 build jobs, you group your build jobs by project, makes a lot more sense. So inside here, these are actually views. So if we have a look at the deployment view, we go and edit the deployment view. We've just gone and ticked the, let's put deploy to production as well. We'll save that. So now inside our dashboard, we have the core deployment test and metrics. We go into the deployment and we see the actual deployment build jobs. And what's quite nice is it actually gives you an average health level for the build jobs that are inside that build. So that's quite useful. Another cool feature is the build radiator. Who uses build radiator? This one's a boring one because everything works. Who uses a build radiator? Build radiators are awesome. Use one. If you're in a bank or a financial organisation, you've got these big 42-inch screens up on the walls displaying irrelevant details like stock exchanges or stuff like that. Commandeer it and put this on it. So this is pretty boring. This one's just everything succeeding. It's always boring when everything succeeds. Much more fun when something's failing. We'll come back to it when it fails. But the point of this is you will, when it fails, you will have a 42-inch red screen. You point that at the manager's office and you'll see the results. Very, very effective. You've got to be imaginative in your notification strategies, which is something we'll talk about shortly. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is generally version control integration and build triggers. And we'll look at some of the things that are often or sometimes overlooked. We're going from simple to not so simple. So at the moment we're in this fairly basic stuff. So you probably know a lot of this stuff already. Maybe. Do people know a lot of this stuff already? Hands up. Yeah, about half. That's good. Gets harder as we go on. Or more interesting. Okay, so let's have a look at a random build job. So this stuff, I'm assuming, is fairly familiar. We'll look at build promotion shortly. Let's go straight to source code. Now, source code integration is a fairly obvious feature, fairly easy to set up. Obviously, the configuration will vary depending on what sort of version control system you use. Works fine with Git and Mercurial and stuff like that. Who's using Git or Mercurial? Cool. So, yeah, Hudson works fine with that. What I wanted to show you is a repository browser. Who is using a repository browser? If you're not, use one. They're easy to set up. If you're using Track, there's one built in. If you're not, you can use Fisheye. Fisheye, if you got it, that's good. That's cool. Really nice commercial one. Otherwise, there's stacks. This one is an open source Java one. It's Venton, however you're meant to pronounce it. That's just a random repository browser that I chose because it was easy to deploy onto Tomcat and useful for demos. The point is you want one. You want the one that suits your environment best. Track's good if you're wanting to look at an open source. Pain to install, but once it's installed, works really nicely for Subversion. So plenty of choice, but you definitely need one. So why do you need one? Why am I insisting? When you have set up a source code browser, so let's have a look at this build job. Take a random build. I'm not trying to find one where there was actually a change in the source code. Nope, that's not one. Just bear with me while I find something with some real significant changes. Okay, let's make a change. Again, we're going to improvise. So let's do something like, I don't know, I'm going to refactor this. I'm making this up as I go along, so please let me know if I make any obvious mistakes. So we're going to make a small change. Now I'm going to commit my changes. So I'm just going to commit my changes and hopefully that should kick off a build. So let's go back to Hudson. And while we're waiting for it to kick off a build, I don't know, maybe we should sing a song or something. No, maybe not. So this one is, it's kicking off. Here we go. So this one has started. What I've got here, so you're all familiar with the build executors? Yep. So on this machine, what I've done is I've actually set up the master is the actual laptop. I've got a Unix slave, or an Ubuntu slave, and a Windows slave, just to show that you can. We'll have a look at distributor builds later on. So let's have a look here. So we've got our change coming in. If we go and look at the details, it'll say, it was this file that was changed. And then if we look at the diff, it'll actually say, oh, these are the changes that were actually made. That's what's cool about using a source code browser. So whatever change when you made, and that's a notification. I wonder why it said failed. We'll get to that later on. So whenever you commit a change, you can immediately see what source code changes actually contributed to a build. And that, when it breaks, that is really, really powerful. Or when something strange happens, for instance, the performance might suddenly drop off. That's really useful. So that's what I wanted to show you to do show you regarding the version control, SCM integration. It's not much to it, eh? It's pretty simple. Who uses Maven? Cool. So I'm going to take you through a few tips on Maven build jobs. Now in Hudson, who uses the Maven build jobs type? Fair few people. Who uses freestyle build jobs? About the same. So in Hudson, you can either use a dedicated Maven build job, which knows quite a lot about the Maven project structure, or you can use a freestyle job where you're pretty much left to fend for yourself, but you have more freedom to do stuff. The Maven build job can do some nice things like understand modules. Who uses multi-module projects in Maven? If you don't, you probably should. They're very useful. So Maven Hudson understands multi-module projects. So if you change just one module, it will figure out that you build that module and only the modules following that module. So that's quite cool when you've got big. Here we go. So it's actually triggered off some other builds as well. Talk about that notification stuff as well later on. Now, Maven, when you're using a Maven build job, who's using Nexus or Artifactory? Who is using Maven but not using an enterprise repository? If you're using Maven and not using an enterprise repository, you should use one too. That's how you share your artifacts, yeah? That's how you, when you build a project, you distribute it among the team, other team members or to other teams, push it out and let everyone know about it. So Hudson, you can automate that process. So whenever a change comes in, the change goes through to Hudson. Hudson builds, tests, verifies that everything's okay. Once everything's built, you can get Hudson to deploy to your Nexus or Artifactory. Now, why do you want Hudson to do it? You can do it using Maven Deploy, but Maven Deploy, if you've got multi-module projects, it will deploy them successively, whereas if you set it up using Hudson to do it, it will wait till everything succeeds and then do it only at the end, which is quite nice. So we've got that set up here. A little bit further down, deploy artifacts to Maven repository. So all you do is provide the URL to the Maven repository. You can also provide the snapshot. Here we're saying deploy it to snapshots because it'll always be snapshots. You'll set up a username and a password in your settings.xml. That's fairly standard stuff. The point is, if you're using Hudson, you get that sort of atomic nature to the snapshot deployment, which is quite nice. One thing that you may want to be aware of doing that is this option, discard old builds. Because when you're doing a Maven job, Hudson will automatically keep hold of the jar files and the WAR files that it generates. And if you're doing 50 build jobs a day, that can start to take up a little bit of space and you may irritate your system administrator a lot. But you still need the artifacts to do these automatic atomic deployments. So use discard old builds. Who uses the discard old? Who knows about that option? Who's found that option? If you had any disk space issues, you may have found that useful. So you can keep it a certain number of days, keep a certain number of builds, or more interestingly, you can also say, okay, keep the history of the build jobs, but discard the artifacts. So I'm only interested in the artifacts, the last few artifacts, but I still want to keep the test results and all that. Because if you discard the builds, you only keep the last 20 builds, you're limiting your history. You don't get any history beyond those 20 builds. If you discard the artifacts, you still get the builds, the build history, which doesn't take a great deal of space. That's quite a useful option. The incremental builds. Who wants to see a demo of the incremental builds in Maven? Who does not want to see a demo of the incremental builds in Maven? Okay, so what I'll do is, here we have a multi-module project with what have we got? Core, web, web services, command line interface, lots of stuff. Let's change something in the web module, which is right at the end of the process, and see what happens. And I'll show you some interesting implications of this in the test results. So I'm going to go and change something trivial. What am I going to change? I don't know. Let's put a comment somewhere. Something significant like, something very useful. So we'll commit our changes. Always remember to comment your commits. And eventually that will get through to Hudson and we'll see what it builds, which is where it gets interesting. So I see these things cropping up. This is a build notifier. Which one is this? This is one that Mac OS specific one, which is, I suspect, a little bit dodgy. So the snapshot or beta version or whatever. Build notifiers are really useful things. When you who uses email as your then build notifications? So email's cool. The only issue I have with email is that I work in government organisations quite a lot. And when I go into a government organisation and set up my machine, in the morning I will have about 20 emails about headlights that have been left on or yoga classes that have been scheduled for lunchtime or things like that. And so the build notifications tend to get a little bit lost in the crowd. So I quite like to use alternative build notification strategies as well. My favourite is one that I haven't succeeded in implementing yet, but I will one day. It involves a cage of wild ferrets tied to the build server. I'm still working on a plugin for that one. So just stay tuned for that. But failing that, you really need to push the information out. So you need people to be aware of it. So desktop, things like this, desktop build notifiers are useful because they pop up in your face. So there's one, the Tray application plugin, which is very useful for that sort of thing. That's basically a Java web start application that you can start up on any environment. There are a few others floating around the place. But find one that you're happy with and use it. That's probably the simplest, easiest to set up strategy. Who uses internal instant messaging? Who uses internal instant messaging which is vaguely open? Yeah? That's cool. If you are, then you can usually hook Hudson into it. If you're not, it's trickier. But you've got to adapt to the culture of where you're working. So use a strategy that people will pay attention to. So the build radiator, that's another option. So let's go back to our demo and see where we're at. So what we've got here, if we look at the test results, we look at the module builds. You can see that only the web one is actually marked as blue. So the red one, the web module, which was at the end of the process, was actually built. It didn't bother with the other ones. So it will only build the module that changed and any modules that depend on that. Now that has interesting implications for your test results, which we will look at shortly. What was the next thing I wanted to look at? So we talked about that. Test results. There are lots of neat tricks in Hudson test result reporting. So this is the test result trend graph that you all know and love. So here we have 78 tests, 8 of which are skipped. We'll look at skipped tests later on. They are exceedingly useful things, your old skipped tests. But I'm sure you're all familiar with that screen, yeah? Yeah? What about the trend? Well, you'll also notice in this graph, just incidentally, we did an incremental build there. And so you notice the tests actually drop down from here. They drop right off. That's because obviously it only built the last module, so it didn't run all the tests for the previous modules. So you get funny graphs when you do incremental builds. Not a big deal. Just got to be aware of it. So in the trends, where you can... This is an interesting feature. I'm not sure how useful it is, but it's interesting. You actually see how many builds were built over time. So you can go back and see, on this day one there was one build here, there were two builds and so forth. So you get a general idea of the activity of the project. But what I find more useful is, wow, that got really thrown out. It's the build time trend. So the build time trend will basically tells you how long your tests took to run over time. Now, why is that useful? Well, if your tests suddenly take a huge amount of time to run, then there's probably a performance issue or something like that. You probably want to look at it. So if we can't hear it, but you could click on it, go in, see what changes went in, what changes actually caused the builds to take longer. Okay, so next thing I wanted to show you, we're still in the fairly easy stuff, so hopefully we'll try and speed it up a bit and get to some more interesting stuff. Publishing HTML reports. So that's an innocent enough looking feature. Anyone using that plugin? Yeah? It's an innocent looking enough feature, but what I use it a lot for is to get testers and QA people into the game. So if we look at this project, I'm using EasyB to actually automate the acceptance test. So I've got playing the game of life. I've got a whole lot of EasyB. Who knows what EasyB is? A couple of people. EasyB is a behavior-driven development testing framework. And it works very nicely for automating web tests, I found. So here... I have automated web tests for my little game of life simulation application. Don't worry about the details. The point is I have these big blocks of text explaining what the tests actually do. And that text can actually be understood by the end user. And what we have in the acceptance test build job, so we have an acceptance test build job. Which along the way publishes not only JUnit tests, don't need that anymore, it also publishes HTML reports. So let's have a look at, the details of publishing an HTML report, you point it to the HTML directory, not a big deal. The interesting thing is what that does. So in the acceptance test, here we have in behavior-driven development, in EasyB, you have the notion of pending tests and implemented tests, and also passing or failing. So when EasyB runs its tests, it generates test results, and the pending tests are marked as ignored. The failing tests are failed, obviously, and the passing tests are blue. So here we have a trend of how many tests are being ignored In other words, how many tests are pending, waiting to be implemented, and how many tests are actually implemented. So you can see how that's going over time. So users get not only a view of the acceptance test, so here's the summary of the acceptance tests, and go into the details and see the details of the tests that were actually passed, but also the trend over time. So that's quite useful. I find that very useful to integrate the testers and BA people into the process. Who uses tools like CheckStyle, PMD, FindBugs, stuff like that? So you'll know that that's very easy to integrate with Hudson. Who uses Sonar? So if you're using CheckStyle, FindBugs, PMD, have a go at Sonar as well. What you can do with Sonar, in Sonar, you get a summary of your code quality. It looks something like this. And better still, so you'll get things like code coverage, complexity, rules. I won't bore you with the details, but you get everything you'd get with CheckStyle, FindBugs, PMD, Curvatura, all rolled into one website. So that's very cool. The other thing that's really cool is that you can, in the configuration, you can actually get hold of the XML format for things like CheckStyle in particular. That means that in your Maven build, for example, you can set up a reference to the Sonar website and pull down the CheckStyle rules and integrate it into your Maven build. So you can get and do the same thing for Eclipse. So get everything working together. So that's quite cool. And that way, you can set, it's quite easy to set up a Maven profile to run in your, so here we have our code quality metrics build. So it runs all the CheckStyle, FindBugs, PMD and all that stuff. It also integrates with Sonar. So integrating with Sonar, use the Sonar plugin. It's as simple as ticking a box saying push out, integrate with Sonar. And it will run Sonar, run all of those metrics against your application and push them out onto the Sonar website. Build promotions. Let's have a look at build promotions. Who wants to look at build promotions? No one didn't think so. Okay, let's move on now. Okay, so build promotions. Build promotions are an awesome feature of Hudson. It's a plugin called the whatever I said it was. Let's go through the slide so you can see the plugins, so you can see the plugin names. So we've got that one. I've seen that one. We've seen how to automatically deploy to Nexus. We've seen code quality. We skipped over performance, but there's a performance plugin which lets you integrate with JMeter. Not much to say about it. You run your JMeter test and it gives you trends of your performance over time. That's quite nice. Anyone use that? So you set up a dedicated performance build, which by definition tends to take quite a long time. So that's the sort of thing you would run once a night. Build promotions. So the promoted builds plugin is the name of it. So the promoted builds plugin lets you define promotion processes. So here we have our Game of Life main project. And what we say is that this one will only be promoted if the metrics and the acceptance tests are all okay. So I can configure in the metrics build, I can set up a criteria which says if the code coverage is less than 80%, 90% something, it will fail that build or make it unstable. And in that case, this promotion process would fail. But if the code coverage is above that, it would succeed. So you set up, basically say, this build will be promoted if these downstream builds work. Or you can also say this build has to be manually promoted. So just there are some processes you can't automate. You want UAT people to do the job, for example. So once you've decided whether your build can be promoted or not, you decide to, you give it an action. So the action, can't see all of them, but it's pretty much anything, any build action. So I won't worry about the details, but you can get it to do pretty much anything that you could in a normal build step. Here we've told it, okay, deploy it to, this is a local test server. So whenever that build runs, it will be deployed. So in this case, we have a our little test server, and you can see the version down here which has been deployed. So when we do a release, another release, bump up the version number, you'll see that will get deployed automatically. But you can set up pretty much anything you want, and you can make it do any use your own imagination to come up with whatever build promotion process is useful for you. So who uses the Maven release plugin, the release process? Who uses the Maven release process integrated with Hudson? A couple of people. So if you are using that, the release process is a good thing to do because it helps you distinguish between work in progress, so snapshot builds, and the actual releases, so numbered version, proper versions. And in Hudson, you can do things like, well, I'll show you the configuration first. In Hudson, there's a thing called the M2 release plugin. And the M2 release plugin allows you to... So here we've got a fairly standard configuration. Allows you to say, this build can be promoted, basically, or this build can be used as a release pro. You can trigger off a Maven release from here. So you can do a whole lot of options. But basically what it does is adds a little button like this. So if we were to click on that, it'll ask us some questions. You can specify versions yourself, or you can just let Maven decide. You can enter usernames and passwords for the SCM if you want to, and so forth. So I'm going to schedule that build, and we'll see how it kicks off. While we're waiting, I'll show you another variation. So you saw how I deployed to Tomcat. You saw the configuration? Yeah? I have an issue with deploying to Tomcat in anything other than test environments, that it tends to have memory leaks, so it tends to die after a while. So if I'm deploying to anything vaguely serious, like UAT, I'll restart to the Tomcat server before I actually do the deployment. So Hudson uses Cargo to actually do the deployment. So Cargo relies on, who knows what Cargo is? Yep, so Cargo is basically a library that lets you deploy to application servers. If you're deploying to a remote application server, you need a running instance of that server. So you can't actually make the server restart through Cargo, but you can, usually using SSH. So just an example, we've got the Game of Life deploy to UAT environment build job. And in this one, what I've done is use the SSH plugin, and I'm going to connect to this SSH server, which is actually a virtual machine in this box. It'll go and stop the server, wait a bit, start it up, and wait a bit. So it will do that in the pre-build script. So it will do that before we actually deploy. And then deployment, here we've got the Cargo redeploy, and we're passing in a version. Who's used parameterized builds? So what we've got here is a parameterized build.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ah, that means the build's broken. That's the Hudson Sounds plugin. Very useful for build server notification if you have the build server in an accessible place. You can do all sorts of fun things. You make it... Play a sound when a build fails, play a sound when a build succeeds, when a build becomes unstable, when it stops failing for the first time. You can have all sorts of fun. So that's a nice plugin. So back to the parameterized build. So here I set up a parameter, the version, and let's see where our build is at. So our build is running again, or running. So that'd be the... Oh, it's worked again. So, no, I did that on purpose. So, what we've just done is, so it's going through. This would be building the new snapshot releases. So it's gone and built the official release, deployed it to Nexus, and gone off, and it's now building the snapshot. So if we have a look in Nexus. So Nexus is a repository manager. Artifactory is another common one. So where did we put it? It would be in the snapshots. No, in the releases. So go and see what versions are released. And we have a... Let's have a look at the web. That's what we're interested in. We now have an official 0.0.2.6 version. So what... the release process has done is generated a version 0.0.26 in Nexus. It's available here. Hasn't been deployed anywhere yet. But what we can do now is go to UAT, deploy to UAT. We'll kick this build off and we'll say 0.0.26. And that, if the demo gods are clement, we'll deploy version 0.0.26 to the Ubuntu virtual machine, which is running on this machine. Deployed to 0.0.26. Now, that magic text, anyone interested in knowing where that magic text comes from? Yes, that's a cool little feature too. So what I've done here, there's a thing called the Hudson Description plugin. And what that does is build description, set build description. You give it a regular expression which appears somewhere in your log files. You can always figure out some, if you're looking for a version number or something, you always find it somewhere. And then come up with the text. So deploy ones, that's the first regular expression it finds, to UAT. And so that will go and grab the version from the log file, the version number from the log file, and put it into what you saw here. So give you a record of everything that's been done. And the promotion status, so that's this build has actually got a manual promotion status. I'm almost out of time, so I'll say this very quickly. Here we have a deploy to production only when manually approved. And if it gets manually approved, then we will trigger off the Game of Life deploy to production. And we will also pass in the current build parameters. So what that will do is take you can say, okay, in this build we deployed 0.0.24. Let's promote that to production. So it will take version 0.0.24, kick off the deploy to production build job, which will take that version number and do essentially the same thing, except that it will deploy it to production. So just to prove that it actually did something. Let's have a look at our test server. Our test server now has 0.0.27 and our UAT server has 0.0.26, the official release version. That's pretty good. I actually got through most of the stuff that I wanted to, and we have 5 minutes for questions. So, questions, anyone? If you have any questions, just go to the microphone so it can be recorded for all eternity, for at least the next month or so. Questions? Don't be shy.
Can you show us where you find the plugins and where you actually install the plugins in Hudson?
Sure. So the question is, can I show where to find plugins and where to install? The answer is yes, I can. Okay, so that is in the Manage Plugins section. So in the Manage Plugins section, you'll have a list of basically a screen enabling you to see what plugins are available, which ones need updating, which ones have been installed. So here we have... The list of available plugins. You go through, you just tick them. Go to the bottom of the screen, which is quite a long way down. Install, and it will. You'll need to restart them. If you're in a hardened environment that won't let you out to the internet, often get places like that. Here's your build server. It works perfectly. Can I get access to the internet? No, it's far too secure for that. If you get into that situation, then you can go and upload a plugin manually. So the plugins can be downloaded as HPI files, which are effectively zip files, and you upload it manually. So that's the other way. You can also keep track of what's actually been installed. So here we've got a list of what's been installed. Some of them will actually let you downgrade them as well if you're not happy. So it's a good idea to keep track of your plugins and keep a list, a definitive list, because the plugins are effectively third-party software. You want to know what's been installed and have a definitive version of your plugin, your Hudson server, so you don't get things too messed up. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yes.
So what's coming up with
Maven 3.0? So Maven 3 is supported in the freestyle builds, but not in the Maven build at the moment, the Maven style build at the moment. Sonatype are working on doing some Hudson integration of their own. So doing a version of Hudson which integrates very tightly with Maven, Maven 3 in particular. So there is the Maven build type will, I imagine, evolve in the direction of integrating with Maven 3, because Maven 3 has much tighter integration with, it has a public API for your for the lifecycle integration. It's much easier to integrate with third-party products, I presume. I'm not, maybe some of the Hudson people down the front could.
Eventually,
so there is a plan to do that eventually. Any other questions? Yes, I think.
Does Hudson support taste ng stand reports?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Does Hudson support taste ng stand reports? There is a taste ng.
Yes, test ng reports. Test ng generates JUnit reports that will fit in nicely, and there's a test ng plugin as well. Yes, I don't use test ng a lot, despite its blatant awesomeness. But so yes. Yes.
Does Hudson support mixed
language environments, C, C++? Yes. So does Hudson support mixed language environments like C or C++? Yes, it does. Hudson is used for all sorts of languages other than Java. In Anger, there are quite a lot of places that use Hudson for .NET or C, C++. It can run a whole lot of there's in the builder integration, the builder plugins, you get a whole list of. Well, here we have some of them. So some of them will have been installed, but if you look in the builder section, if I can find them before I get kicked out, build tools, you get a whole lot of different MS build, NET, Fing, however that's pronounced, Python, all sorts of, I think there's C, C++, there is C, I've seen C and C++ support somewhere. CMake, yeah. Yeah, so on freestyle build you can do anything, so you can run effectively a make from on the command line. Other questions? Okay, well, thank you.